your little porch. So it would be two steps forward and two steps back. For an hour, 2 hours, whatever. Standing also, some people, I don't do much standing, some people like to just get their feet stand, kind of mountain posture, I suppose, feet hip distance apart, and the knees slightly bent, and just hold the body, and just watch that. The one monkey, in New Zealand, he used to do it for 2 hours, 2-3 hours, just stood there. Used to stand in the corner like being punished. But the idea is just that you could try lying down too. Dangerous. Might lose you for the day. But if you can develop, I guess it's like yoga nidra, isn't it? Huh? Mm-hmm. Where you lie down and you really stay awake in the lying posture, then that can be very fruitful, because there isn't the effort to hold up the body. But you'll notice that even if you're lying down, you'll start to feel uncomfortable. So you have to take the discomfort as a way of deepening the awareness. Because you know darn well, you know it's not life-threatening, that discomfort, if you're lying on the floor, right? So you can't fool yourself there. So you're lying there, and then the discomfort comes and you want to shift. Well, that'll keep you restless. So you have to use the discomfort, and that actually make you more conscious and more aware. So you use discomfort to deepen awareness. And that's the principle of all our practices, that you're trying to not just be, let's see, meditation is just always being peaceful, something like that. But the deepening of awareness through all conditions, good, bad, or indifferent. So if you want to try that, lying down, especially if you've got a lot of physical pain, the body's giving you a lot of hassle, then a harder surface is usually better, like on a yoga mat. You could sweep through the body, and then just the challenge of staying in the moment, in the lying posture, because the lying posture is so much associated with crashing out. So it's got a strong association with annihilation. You know, hit the sack to forget the world. So you don't want to go there. So you don't want to use meditation to fall asleep. Not a good idea. So if you use breath meditation to fall asleep, what are you going to do when you're meditating? So it's not to make you some kind of zombie relaxed state. It's actually to make the mind alive, awake, but calm and peaceful. So do feel free to try that. If the advantage of sleeping on your back is that when you do fall asleep, you snore and usually wake yourself up. That's quite helpful. Sometimes in the text they say lie in the lying posture on your side, so you have the one arm there and the legs on top of each other. That's the sort of classic in Indian, in Buddhist iconology. But I found yoga nidra on the back is quite good. It takes some getting used to, but it is worth developing, because then you can use that posture for really relaxing the body, but staying very bright, very awake. So the four classic postures of meditation are standing, sitting, lying, and walking. And that's what we're doing. So with the walking meditation, again, choose some area, and if you just could maybe just keep with a simple theme of awake mind, non-becoming. So if you and to get into the subtleties of like I say, like boredom, and there's nothing happening, these kind of practices seem quite barren. I'm not getting anywhere. I don't get it. This is, people used to ask us, I remember in Oxford teaching there, these two ladies had been coming from Oxford for about a year. And we just taught Four Noble Truths, walking meditation, breath, same old stuff, doing it for years. And then finally, they said, can we have the real teaching now? Can we have the kind of esoteric? Sorry, ladies. So you're walking back and forth, and you know. So what the desire mind, then what it'll do? It'll create a really important thing you have to do in the future, right? Or it'll develop this incredible idea of what you're going to make, or who you're going to talk to, or you're going to build a monastery. And that idea will become very important, and then you're toast. So that's when you practice renunciation. You know, that really, really interesting idea. What is that? It's the mind being bored seeking something interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So if it really is important, jot it down and forget about it. And so there is the kind of renunciant practice. It's not renunciation in terms of just sort of shaving your head and taking up monastic life, but it's like giving up this movement into the future. It's always becoming mind, right? So that's renunciation. So when your mind wants to get engaged with some really fascinating and interesting self, this is the mind wanting to be engaged with fascination and interest. Then you come back to the peace of the mind, knowing change. But that is conditioned by boredom. And it's conditioned by habit too, isn't it? The habit of always doing something interesting. So we can stay quite maybe alert by being interested in things, which is fine, which is a nice facility to be able to do that. That's great. But in terms of really settling the mind into a deeper sense of silence, we have to notice that pattern. So like just renunciation, not rejection. Say, no, I've been there, done that, did it last retreat, or whatever. So there's no rebirth into that. And then the other is the non-aversion to boredom, non-aversion to discomfort, non-aversion to allowing that to be there. Because that's what we're doing with the pleasant and unpleasant aspects of consciousness. We're attracted to the pleasant and repelled by the unpleasant, aren't we? That's the simple pattern. So when the pleasant idea comes up, we want to pursue that. But then we're always caught up in objects. We're always preoccupied with feelings and sights and sounds and tastes and ideas and memory. And we're always sort of preoccupied. And as long as our attention is preoccupied with objects, we never really notice that awareness behind it is deeply silent and deeply peaceful, because we're always engaged out there. So coming home is all, it's like this receptive, it's just the way it is now. And then getting reborn is like getting distracted by all these different movements that we're experiencing. So we take these simple containers, say an hour of meditation, walking, an hour of sitting. So that, you know, that we were on the cushion now. If you came in 5 minutes early, you were here for an hour and 15 minutes, and now it's been an hour and 25 minutes. Now, you're used to sitting in half an hour. It's difficult. That's quite difficult. So if you can't follow the breath, don't worry about it. Just watch suffering. I'm sure you got lots of that. So like, just to like give up trying to get enlightened. Give up the bell ever ringing. I mean, a lot of that, you're just kind of waiting for Ajahn Chah to ring that bell. And so what I said, I could concentrate for maybe 45 minutes or half an hour, and I could extend that, but then sometimes the evening meditation and the talk are going for 4 or 5 hours, and the concrete's killing me, and mosquitoes are biting, and then you just, what do? This is suffering. Suffering feels, that's the only thing I could do, was contemplate suffering, because I couldn't do the breath, I couldn't do metta, I hated Ajahn Chah. So if your meditation, I was like, just, you know, I have to control it, you know, for this half hour, it becomes impossible. So then, you know, do some kind of centering exercises, and then don't don't make it work all the time. Just relax. It's the way it is now. So especially if you're just finding those last 15 minutes very difficult, and say, it feels like to be really difficult. This is what it feels like to be restless. Really accept that into the mind, because that's where the desire mind is going to become very strong, isn't it? Because your body hurts and all the rest of it. So this is desire not to be here. That's what settles the mind. That's what settles the mind. Not just force, huh? Not just force. That's the theory. It does work. If you keep those Four Noble Truths in mind, they're just so valuable. Because that's really the heart of the teaching. So let's do some... If you like to sit, please continue sitting, and we just practice through to lunchtime. Okay.